Every other Monday, we catch up with the Bloomington Police Department, Captain Steve Kellums. He's joining us on the phone today. Happy first day of April here, Captain Kellums, and I apologize in advance about the forecast.
Well, you know what? That's like the greatest April Fool's joke ever, right? A couple inches of snow on April Fool's Day. Yeah, that was fun.
I didn't even think of that. Thankfully, it came late enough. Hopefully, everybody had their egg hunts and everything else that goes along with Easter, had that all complete. And not too debilitating getting out and going this morning. Obviously, since we've talked to you last, a very important decision has come from the mayor's office after, what was that, a month, 6 weeks of public comment and hearing people's voices on the purchase of the Lenco Bearcat. Mayor John Hamilton came out Thursday afternoon around lunchtime and said, hey, we're going to go forward with this project, and outlined the way it was going to be used, outlined some changes to the vehicle itself that were going to be, reordered, for lack of a better word, and some training and other initiatives he wants to see the police department with used to this and how the officers will be around with it. Just give me your initial thoughts on what you heard. Obviously, you heard it before we did on Thursday afternoon on this situation moving forward.
Well, those were parts of ongoing discussions that we had with the mayor's office during the public comment proceedings. We continued to view all of the comments that were coming in. We listened very closely to the citizens' concerns, and we continue to try to address those with conversations we had with the mayor's office. The chief and the mayor spent a considerable amount of time together discussing those types of issues that were coming up. And I think we came to a great workable solution that we were able to address a few of the concerns by the community. But at the same time, we're happy, and, we're very happy about the support that we did have. We're very happy about the mayor's decision. Obviously, it was something we think was very, very important, and the chief thought was very important. And, we're going to go forward with a lot of those things. They were discussions that we were already having internally, along with some of those concerns came out. We sat down and spoke with the concerns that the mayor had, and we were able to address all of those. And I think that we're going to end up with a very, very workable solution, nothing that we were going to, or I should say no major changes necessarily, but some of those changes I think are important to the community because they express those. So it was important to us to take some of that stance, and it was very happy to see the mayor give that support as well.
And I think that support, obviously, to the officers was very well laid out in 15 pages of a PDF document. If somebody wants to read all of it, this was not a conclusion that was, as I joked about on Friday, drawn on the back of a cocktail napkin. This was thought out and presented on both sides in deep detail with plenty of resources, national criminal stats, and other things like that. This was not a decision taken lightly.
Oh, not at all. Again, as I said, we listened very closely to all of those public comments, the positives and negative comments, and I think we were able to address many of those. And we had already looked towards some of those issues when we started making the decisions for the armored vehicle. But, we'd made the discussions about the rescue vehicle and how it was going to be utilized. We had already have some new general orders and plans. We'd already worked on those. Because we wanted to ensure the community that it wasn't going to be used improperly, and we wanted to get some of those things in writing. So we'll be able to continue forward with that as we go, dealing with the Board of Public Safety as we start presenting those things. And so it's going to be an ongoing process as we continue up until taking possession of the rescue vehicle. So we're really looking forward to that, obviously. But We also really appreciate the public input, public comment. Many times we try to do things at the police department, whether it be through our community engagement events or some of the open meetings and dialogues we have, and we don't get a whole lot of people show up or a whole lot of input. So actually something like this is kind of refreshing to see so many people care, and I think that's the beautiful thing about Bloomington is a lot of people care.
Yeah, that was one of the points I remember reading from the report. It was having more events to make the CERT team available to the public and talk about what's going on with that and how their job works and everything else, because that's not one of the easier jobs that you have to sign up for over there.
It's not, and the amount of training that they go through is incredible. the amount of time that they spent working on all of the things like de-escalations. You know, the purpose of the critical incident response team is to come to a peaceful resolution to some very, very dangerous and violent situations. And our team has excelled in that a number of times, and we've been able to utilize things from our hostage negotiation teams to a variety of less lethal and de-escalation techniques to bring into a number of calls. As was reported in the newspaper, and we reported through these conversations some of the details about the calls that they went on just last year and how many times those did come to a peaceful resolution. The officers were able to take suspects into custody without any type of violence being used is really a testament to the amount of training that they go through and the amount of preparation and practice that they do. And this rescue vehicle is just simply going to be another tool in their toolbox.
Yeah, we heard a lot of the report about adding training hours and being up to speed on some acronyms I can't remember right now. But you guys are, but the point is, you guys are already hitting those margins pretty. You're right there, aren't you? This isn't going to be some kind of huge paradigm shift. I don't want people to get the wrong idea here that you haven't been going through this training. You've exceeded some of these training hours, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Our officers average more than 100 hours of training a year and well beyond the state-mandated requirements. We cover things like implicit bias training, and we cover de-escalation techniques, and we cover use of force and how to properly utilize that force throughout the entire year, again, with over 100 hours of training per officer. So when we look at some of the requests by the mayor's office as well as the citizens, those are going to be quite easy for us to implement. We're already right there, as you said, and it's just a matter of structuring a few things and making sure that we continue doing what we've been doing and bringing in some of the best instructors that we can find. Our officers are probably some of the best trained officers in the United States when it comes to all of the aspects of their jobs, and we want to continue to keep them that way.
Captain Kellums is our guest this morning, Captain Steve Kellums with the Bloomington Police Department. He checks in every other Monday to get us caught up on what's happening, on what's going on, and obviously a busy time with that big decision coming out last Thursday. And my favorite quote from the HT article on Friday morning was from Chief Dekoff that said, so I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have it right in front of me, something to the fact that X amount of the people in this town will never even see this vehicle.
It's absolutely a special use vehicle. It's something that's going to come out with regards to our critical incident response team and when the requirements for that to be used. And the majority of people never have any interaction or are even around to see those things occur. We have very specific guidelines about when it's going to be used. And we're going to add to those along with the mayor's discussion and his release with regards to the policies that are going to be presented and us working closely with the Board of Public Safety to create those general orders and policies for its use. It's pretty much going to show that, again, most people are not going to see this. They're not going to have any involvement with this armored car or this rescue vehicle. Unfortunately, though, if they ever do see it, I think they're going to be very happy to see it arriving.
Yes, because it usually will be on their side of things if that happens to be the case. But this is not going to be put in the parade. This isn't going to be driven down if there's a protest going on. Why do people think that's going to happen? Because, frankly, you've had enough protests since you've been on this radio program. We haven't had talked about that at all. Where did the disconnect come that this new vehicle would automatically mean we're going to use it in a different way than perhaps we had used the old vehicle?
Well, unfortunately, across the United States in a variety of different locations, some armored vehicles have been used in protest situations. The discussions with the disturbances that took place in Ferguson and Standing Rock seemed to lead the conversations about the use of armored cars and those civil disturbance events. That's not something that we would ever do in Bloomington. We've said that many times. But we also have seen that even these agencies that have tried to utilize these types of vehicles in those situations fail miserably because the vehicles just are not designed to be used in some type of civil disturbance. We saw, I believe it was Michigan State, had an instance in which they had some riots, and they used their armored vehicle in an attempt to kind of separate protesters. And immediately protesters laid down around the vehicle. They made it so the vehicle couldn't move, and it just didn't do any good. So we've learned from all of those lessons.
Is that part of the training you talk about?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. And we discuss those uses and when it's going to be appropriate and how it's going to be appropriate, along with the variety of use of force and where it applies, where it's used, and where it's needed.
And it's interesting because it doesn't, there is no math equation that says once you buy one of these, all of a sudden your department's policies and everything else changes. That's to me what got lost in this entire story. It's great that the colors change. It's great you're going to call it something different than what it was before and get it kind of retro or fitted differently than it is. Is that going to delay the process in getting it here, or is that just putting the finishing touches on the order you guys have already made?
That's putting the finishing touches on the order. It shouldn't delay anything. And I think that the chief said this and such a wonderful job of saying that this is a tool. It's not our mentality. I've worn a bulletproof vest, body armor, for my 28 years career, and I've not needed it yet. And I'm very thankful for that. But I would not have wanted to go a day on work without one. And so the fact that we have this vehicle simply means that if we never used it, that would be okay. Just because we've spent the money doesn't mean we have to run out and roll it out. It means that we've developed an insurance policy to protect our officers, and that's what we're trying to do, and the community as well.
And the officers, that's the key part of this that we can't get lost in. Those are the ones going in harm's way and need all the tools to be there, sadly, because as the mayor accurately pointed out, the studies and the criminal records indicate there are some bad people around with some bad intentions with some bad weapons, and that's part of it. We can't bury our head in the sand during this.
No, we can't. And as just as the concerns of the citizens with regards to the misuse of this vehicle that were brought forth with areas like Standing Rock and Ferguson, we also have to, and while that's never occurred here, we understand their concerns. That's where we try to come back with our concerns with some of these things that have been happening across the country, such as in Parkland. While it's never happened here, and we don't ever want it to, we also know that it's possible, so we've got to be prepared for those things.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. He checks in with the Bloomington Police Department every other Monday to see what's going on. Here we are in April, so we've had Easter. That means, before we know it, we'll have the little 500. The end of school, we'll have people piling into town for summer events and everything else. What do we need to know here as we get April kicked off here on the first Monday?
Well, it looks like right now what we need to know is pack the warm coats because the spring just hasn't quite gotten here yet. But with Little Five coming on, we've been started the plan for that. We've got a Coffee with a Cop event coming up. We've done this every year for the last couple of years in conjunction with the Indiana University Police Department. We tried to do it over there by the auditorium. I believe right now we're looking at the 18th, so keep an eye on our Facebook page about that. And that's designed for us to be able to interact with those students, again, prior to the festivities so that they could come talk to us, express some of their concerns. We can explain to them how those processes work, and hopefully we can make sure that we continue to have a safe Little Five event without any problems or issues.
Yeah, you get good information instead of information from your buddy. Sometimes information from your buddy is good. Sometimes information from your buddy is bad. And in this situation, if you're thinking about hosting perhaps a shindig or an event during such a busy week, I would go to the people that enforce the rules, not the ones who think they know them all.
Oh, yeah, because your buddy stories can be a lot of fun, but they're not necessarily accurate.
No, they're not. And I think the one thing during the Little 500, and we've talked for years and years about this, is if you stand out from the herd, you've done one hell of a job and probably deserve what you get.
That's true. Drawing attention to yourself is not necessarily a good thing that weekend.
That's amazing when everybody else is having just as much fun that you somehow have stuck out of the crowd on that. I talked about this story last hour quickly. A tough situation last Friday morning that sent the alarm bells and the alert systems ringing with a armed robbery attempt. I'm not sure what it the final charge was, but IUPD, you guys had some activity Friday morning with a breaking and entering situation.
Yes, we had an individual that broke into someone's home, started stealing items. When the homeowner woke up, they pointed what they believed to be a gun at them. So as soon as that person left, they reported that. Our officers, along with IUPD officers, we worked very closely with, responded to the area, began searching the area. IU alert system went off, and we got some information about from some callers about where this person might be. We were able to track them down, and were able to make an arrest. Now, the weapon that he had displayed at the time turned out to be a BB gun. However, it's one of those realistic-looking weapons, so we were lucky that nobody was hurt in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, he was taken into custody and charged.
And again, you guys working in conjunction with IUPD, that's just normal business, right? That's not anything that's even different anymore.
Well, you know, with a city our size, the size of both our police force along with IUPD's police force just requires us to utilize all the resources we can. We've got, you know, as we've talked about before, we had 55,000 calls for service just for BPD last year. So needing to have that assistance is required. And we work really closely with them. We do a lot of training with them. And that's always been a good relationship for quite some time. We appreciate that relationship we have with IUPD.
All right, we'll keep an eye on Coffee with the Cop, and that'll come up. We'll talk about that next time you're with us. We'll get in right before that. So that's excellent to know. I feel like I always feel like I'm forgetting something, but we're rolling on here. We know Little Five's going to be a big deal. We know that Bloomington's always a big deal. We've got people coming in and out of here every time. If people want to read the mayor's report, they can find that at the city. If people have any comments further about how you guys are going to do stuff, what's the easiest way to get some information from your department, Captain Kellums?
Well, we've got a number of ways to reach out to us. We do have an email account, police@bloomington.in.gov, in which people can send emails to the police department. That's a great way if they are looking for some more information. But if you want to know kind of what's going on with the department, follow that Facebook page of ours. That's great. We've also got a Twitter account and an Instagram account. The Instagram account is always very popular, that we try to put up a few pictures now and then to let people know what we're doing. But those are great ways to kind of keep up with some of the activities that we've got going on at the police department. But if you do have some specific questions or want to follow up on anything, you can always send us that email.
Excellent. We always appreciate your time. We have to tell you to keep warm, and then tomorrow you'll have to keep dry, and then you'll have to keep warm again before we finally get warm. We'll talk, and I'll get ready for Little 500. Geez, time flies when we're having fun. Weren't we just at Christmas break?
We were just at Christmas break. And, you know, pretty soon school's going to be out, and then all of a sudden they'll be coming back into town.
Who you got in the NCAA championship game tonight? I know your bracket's busted just like mine, so we're just got to root for the league, right?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much have to, but I find I just can't root for Michigan, so I'll
that
be rooting
happens.
For Villanova, and we'll see how that happens.
get a little itchy when it gets down to crunch time. About it always sounds good before the tournament starts. Well, if my team's not, I'm just going to root for the league, and then the league starts doing something really good, and you're like, oh, I don't know if that's. I don't know if we will.
I want to root for the Big Ten team, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
Can't do that for the Maize and Blue. Well, you're not the only one on that. Thanks for your time as always. We appreciate your insight and information, and we'll follow along at the city. Just go to Bloomington Police Department, but make sure you have the one in Indiana. That's always our caveat to all that. Hey, thanks, man. Have a great Monday.
Thanks. Have a good day.